Greetings, everyone. Good to see you. Beautiful morning. Might have been a little chilly for those that actually did camp out last night. I think it got down to the mid-50s or so. And I guess the really dedicated ones of us will be out services at the lake at 3 o'clock, I guess. But I guess I'm not that dedicated, so I don't plan to be out there. You know, as a group of people, most of us like to talk, some more than others. I mean, before services, if we judge ourselves before services and after services, there's a lot of talking that goes on. And that's good. You know, it's good for friends to communicate with one another. Talking shares the past week and our life experiences with each other. You know, if we didn't talk, if we didn't communicate, we wouldn't know what went on, what's going on. It's the way we learn the good things and the sad things of each other. So I strongly encourage all of us to communicate freely with one another. We're all family here. To really get to know someone, you must spend time communicating with them. Without communication, we're mostly strangers to each other, right? If we never mentioned anything about what is going on in our life, we didn't say anything other than hello and goodbye, we really are just strangers. Even though we're in the body of Christ, we would be strangers. I want to talk about the subject of communication this morning, receiving it and giving it. Communication is two-way. And I want to relate all of this discussion on communication to that we also have with the great God that we serve. Because just as we communicate amongst ourselves, which is good and wholesome, we have to communicate with God, our Creator. So I've entitled this message, Communication with God. And I'm probably going to say that word, communication, way too many times in this message. But it's the best word that summarizes all of the spoken word. Now we look out today in society and we see a world that has massive communication problems and breakdowns, don't we? We pick up the newspaper, we view the news on television. Massive problems in communicating. We see nations, we see peoples and families that don't talk to one another. Poor and hostile communication generates conflict. When we don't know what's going on, then that leads to rumor, leads to misunderstanding, hostilities. An obvious example is the political stalemate that our own nation has been in now for several years. Our leaders not working together. You know, when parties and groups and peoples don't talk and work together to find some solution, some harmony that they can agree on, then problems arise. You know, people, the general population becomes frustrated. And we become all the more polarized and divided, and we lose some hope for a future, for things to get any better. And I didn't really catch the news today, but I don't think there's a solution yet, a reconciliation on our issues now with our budget and funding and so forth in Congress and the president. But it's not only there. It's in all the layers of society we have this breakdown. We see the family unit, which is very critical to sustain stability in life. It's being strained today, and it's broken in many, many ways. You know, it's a real challenge to keep all of the family lines of communication open now. Open between teens and their parents. I mean, it's a real struggle in some families to have communication. It's hard even in some families between spouses, husbands and wives, to keep communication flowing. Between seniors getting older and relations with their grown children. There's a breakdown there at times. And then there's grandparents and grandchildren and keeping those lines open, because grandparents don't understand why their grandkids are doing all this stuff and going off in that direction. So, you know, the traditional family culture that we're kind of used to and the values that we grew up with have changed a lot. We don't live in the 40s and the 50s. And we look at that time as some of the good old days. And the things that were on television were fairly wholesome. And they always had a moral value behind them. And the families weren't so dysfunctional. I mean, there's not probably one comedy on TV, family comedy, where the family is not totally dysfunctional. But we laugh at that, and it's funny, and maybe that's why they put it on TV as a comedy. But more and more people today, which is not like it used to be, but more people today are letting their selfish carnality rule their lives and their families instead of self-sacrificing for what's best for the family. Everyone's for themselves. Decisions are made for themselves. And when families go off in different directions, then communication breaks down and conflicts arise. And I'm not sure that there's solutions to bring all the families back together like we would like to envision it. But good and lasting relationships cannot survive without good communication. And that's a skill that has to be activated and has to be worked on. It's just not going to come about. So it takes some work. Now, even in the workplace, if the boss doesn't give clear communication, clear instructions to everyone, then the workers are uncertain for sure what to do. And when the job doesn't get done right, the boss can't understand why. Well, I told you to do this. Well, but you left out this and this and this. In schools, we have teaching breakdowns, miscommunication between teachers and students. And even at times, we have poor communication within the church, between members, between each other. We don't communicate exactly the way we maybe should. Breakdowns between talking between pastors and pastors and members. And of course, that shouldn't be in God's body. But it happens. We're human. But it does happen, and it affects us all. And sometimes it can create rumors and all types of stuff that shouldn't be. So all areas of life, we see communication has an impact. Yet probably the most serious concern, I mean, we can be concerned about all of those areas of life, but the most serious concern is poor communication between us and God. See, we're dealing with life eternal when we deal about God and spiritual. Other people can't give us life eternal. Our spiritual relationship, our closeness to God, suffers drastically when we fail to talk to God or allow Him to talk to us through His Word. To have right and proper relationship with God demands not only quality time, but quality communication with Him, with God. Demands it. And it takes two-way communication here, which is the most ideal. One-way communication, if one person's doing all the talking, that's not nearly as effective as two-way, when there can be some response and back and forth. That way you can clarify. And for two-way communication to work, and this communication to grow with God, then we have to be the active party. God is always there, always present. And He may prompt us with His Spirit, but yet we have to be active on that Spirit, on those prompts. We have to be active in reading God's Word to let Him tell us how to live a righteous life. And we have to be active in kneeling down and thanking Him, talking to Him in prayer. So that's the two-way communication here. We going before God and praying, and He talking to us and responding through His Word. Two-way. And God will guide us and give us answers in His Word if we submit ourselves to Him. God is always there, always ready for interaction. Always ready to improve family relationship. You know, families are broken today. We do not want to allow ourselves to break our spiritual family relationship. The great God that has called you and me and chosen you and me, hopefully, the same God that has given us His Spirit that allows us to understand the words that are spoken every Sabbath. God desires connection to His people. You know, this world today is a connected society. Everybody is electronically connected. Well, I know not everybody. Some of us don't even have a computer in the house. So that's a popular word today, being connected. And people are, they love to be connected to their social groups. And they love to get a text or an email or to put this or that on a web page. But yet they have very little connection with God. God's not real to them in their life. And we understand this. Normal physical parents want a bond. They want some rapport with their children. God wants the same. And we must be active in allowing God to have that rapport with us and not shut God off. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, let us therefore, remember I mentioned that we have to be active in all of this. Communication just doesn't happen. If you want a family get together, if you want to have a cookout at home, if you want something to happen where our scattered family is together, you have to take some action. You have to go and invite them to come over. So it takes action. It says Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Active on our part, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help to help in time of need. You know, we all have times of need in our lives. And to receive the help we need, we, through the scripture there, has taught us, the scriptures teach us God's will, we can boldly go with confidence before the throne of grace by way of prayer, by praying to God, and by way of reading the Word of God. You know, God is always there. So no matter where we're at, even though we can go to and fro, God's there that we can pray to and that He can communicate back through His Word. So let's ask ourselves, how is our personal communication with God? You know, I think it's good to ask ourselves that at times. You know, is it satisfactory? Or is it somewhere less than that? You know, have we become somewhat distant from God? What letter grade would we assign ourselves if we had to say, you know, how good is our communication life with God, our two-way communication? You know, we all have our ups and downs. We're carnal. We're of the flesh, and we're weak. And that's why there's this active part that has to come within us to make communication work. Is our communication daily with God of spiritual, some spiritual depth? Or is it more infrequent and rather shallow? How is our communication with each other? Can we talk about spiritual things in depth with each other? Or do we shy away from that and you know, just can't go there? Well, if we cannot go there with each other, can we go there with God then? You know the answer to that. You know, the distractions of this world and the forces of Satan do their best to block any form of contact with God. Satan's desire is to put so much in our lives that the day goes by and we have no communication with God. And we've all experienced that. But we know the consequence also of that. We know that if we drift from God and not communicate with God, preferably on a daily basis, then this world is going to somewhat disconnect us from God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. This is just before Jesus was arrested by the Jewish authorities. Matthew 26, verse 40. Christ here had just ended a prayer to his Father. Verse 40. Then he, Jesus, and he had just prayed to his Father, came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter. So he looked straight at Peter, addressing this to Peter. I'm sure the others overheard it, probably. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, I think we can all second that. We can all amen that. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are weak. It's so easy for us to be sidetracked. But this is where spiritual character comes in. Because we have to exercise character to get back on track from a weak flesh. To get back on track and connecting with God. If we don't, problems will arise and God's Spirit will lessen and fade over time. And as God's Spirit fades, eventually problems will develop all the more in our lives. So we have to maintain this constant rapport with God, us talking to Him and He to us through the reading of His Word. These are the two lifelines, somewhat, of restoring and connecting and having that spiritual link to God. So I want to spend now a little time on these two actions, this two-way communication, us talking to God and God talking to us. So, number one, prayer is simply talking and connecting to God. Taking the time to connect to God and sharing our lives with Him. Now, as Christians, we know that prayer is one of our main tools in staying close to God. So imagine a toolbox with various tools in it. And these tools help us to get through the day. And one tool that we can pick up out of our box is the tool of prayer. And it sounds so easy, doesn't it? But it's not always as easy as what it seems because, and I'll get into this, we've got to make time for that prayer. It's easy to let daily routines crowd out prayer. You know, we have all good intentions. We want to stay close to God. But many times we fail to make time for God in prayer. Don't need to turn there, but in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, it describes a scene in heaven that has golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, from this we can see that God enjoys, He relishes our prayers. He enjoys communicating with His children. And even though God knows ahead of time our thoughts and our needs and what we may even pray about, He enjoys us coming to Him in sincere prayer. It's like our own children who humble themselves, which may not be too often, but our children who humble themselves and may come to us with certain needs and problems, asking for our help. Of all people, asking their parents for help. And then we have to respond back to them in godly wisdom, don't we? I think God enjoys the same. Us as His children coming before Him, making our petitions, He enjoys that. He wants this relationship, a family relationship. He can see us in His family way down the road, millions of years from now. You see, we don't sometimes quite think along that line there. But He sees us being part of His family forever and ever. There's an example of Christ praying to His Father that I want to turn to. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out, Christ went out and departed to a solitary place, a secluded, a deserted place, and there He prayed. So in the flesh, Christ had a need to get away by Himself at times to go spend that private time with His Father. I guess one question we could ask, do we have a solitary place that we can go and pray also to our Father, spiritual Father? Do we have this solitary place that we can go? And if we don't, then we need to probably create one and arrange one. And make it happen. That's part of this active process. You know, and with a family, and with the bigger the family, sometimes we have to think ahead, and we have to plan, and we have to actually schedule our prayer time as to when we can get to this solitary place. And I think God enjoys that. I think He honors that. That we are planning ahead, saying, now, I know such and such is going to be gone out of the house. I know here and here. You know, if it comes to that, that you plan to have your solitary place. The disciples, you know, saw the example of Jesus praying often. And they knew that they needed to pray properly also. They saw that example. They said, this is what we have to do too. Let's notice that in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as He, Christ, was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray as John the Baptist also taught His disciples. So He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, and I won't go on and repeat all of this, what we call the Lord's Prayer, but here Christ gave us this model prayer to use as a guide in communicating with the Father. It's a model. And if we ever are at loss for words in our prayers, then we can use this model. And most of us have this memorized, this prayer. We've learned it when we were much younger. Now, in Matthew's version of this incident, in Matthew chapter 6, you don't need to turn here. Matthew 6, verse 5, it says, and when you pray, Christ is speaking to His disciples. And when you pray, in verse 6, and when you pray, in verse 7, and when you pray, in verse 9, pray in this manner. So it doesn't say, you know, if you ever get around to it, if you feel like it, but when you pray. You know, prayer is expected of Christians. We know that. It's expected of us. God desires it. He has set us an example of prayer. His servants of old, Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah, Daniel, Peter, Paul, all would not have been successful and men of great faith, indeed, without an exchange of prayer with God. They knew that the one thing that connected them with God was prayer. You know, basically, as physical people, we do or don't do things in life based upon how much we want to do them. It's kind of a principle. We do the things that we love to do. We sacrifice our time and comforts to do the things we want to do, whether it's to go hunt or fish or sew or shop or exercise or play or party or whatever. You fill in the blank there. We sacrifice to go do those things because we liked to do that. We put off the things we don't really want to do readily. It's just part of our nature, being of the flesh. If we lack sufficient prayer in our life, it's because we don't want to pray bad enough compared to something else. And if we see that and admit that, then we can overcome that. That's not impossible. That's not a big giant mountain. We can climb that. We can make time for the things we want to do. It's just getting our priorities straight. If Christ is important to us, then prayer will occur and we will reap the blessings from it. Blessings do come from communicating with God. You bless your children and give to your children as they give you good things in life. And sometimes those things are just sitting down and spending some time with us. You know, as we grow older, our children somewhat depart from us. And they're busy in their own life. And they don't come and, you know, they're just not there a lot. And sometimes the best thing that they can give us is just their time of coming and visiting and talking. And I think sometimes God would just like for us to give us some time to sit and talk and pray. Number two, the other side of communication is letting God talk to us. Now, most of you brought with you today the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible is a collection of 66 books that we take as sacred, as inspired of God, having authority to guide our way to salvation. Without this book, without the Bible, we would know nothing about God and His plan and His spiritual laws to live by. In this book, we get a glimpse of what God is doing in our lives. There's no other source that we could go to know all of this without the Bible. This book has authority in the source of life to come. Let's notice what Paul said to Timothy. Beautiful scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. Talking to Timothy, and in verse 15, and that from childhood, early days, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is, for teaching, for reproof, which means rebuking sin, rebuking error, getting back on track, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and proficient, thoroughly equipped for every good work or deed. Now, we cannot be complete. We cannot be adequate without the Scriptures. We're just a glob of mass out here running around with very, limited knowledge if we don't use the Scriptures to guide our lives. The Scriptures reveal what God is all about. They declare His will and purpose in our lives. And without the Bible, then people are left really with nothing but to determine for their own selves right from wrong, which is basically what the world does today. Most of man's problems are due to disregarding the true God and doing what they consider right in their own eyes. And if they feel it's right not to communicate with their neighbor, then that's what they do. Paul clearly communicated and warned Titus about those that Titus would encounter in and around the church even, that somewhat professed to know about God, but yet they weren't there. They weren't part of that fully called, chosen, and faithful Mr. Mann talked about. You don't need to turn there, but in Titus 1:16, Paul mentions that to Titus. He says they profess to know God. And how many people out there in the world profess to know God? But in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Scripture is what we must use to help define truth. We'll talk more about truth shortly. We live in a very stressful time. Times are hectic. And yet one of the best ways to calm the stresses of life, to me, is to find that quiet, solitary place to reflect on God and His Word. Sometimes that's hard to find today. But it can be done. It can be done. Turning off television can sometimes create a solitary place. I'm not against television. I watch it myself at times. We preach the gospel on television, so it's a great tool. To read the Bible allows God to be our counselor and our comforter and our helper in bringing peace and priority to life. Now that is if we read His Word. In 1 Peter 5, we don't need to turn there. We're told to cast all of our cares upon Him, for He cares about us. And God does care for us. God has given us the Bible somewhat as a tonic, a soothing tonic that can help console and give us hope in these perilous times that we live. Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4, it says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Scriptures bring us hope. We all need hope to keep trucking on. Without some hope, we might want to just kind of give up at times. Hope provides comfort. God talking to us through His Scriptures helps us to believe the impossible. That He will, that we will succeed and we will make it even though we are weak. Yet, sadly, we let our carnality come out and prevent God from talking to us. Now, that sounds odd, isn't it? That we would actually go to an extreme of refusing to let God talk to us. How is that possible? God does want to share and bear our burdens. But sometimes we kind of just shut the door on Him and go do other things. We shut the door by not finding the time to read His Word. Because that's how God talks to us. So if we don't read His Word, we're actually shutting the door on God. Why do we make it so hard for God to talk to us? So difficult. I mean, He's the source of all that's good for us. He has basically the big picture answers in life. Yet we refuse His company at times. And I include myself in this somewhat of a paradox. I mean, we love God. We want to be close to God, but yet we kind of push Him aside at times, and because we don't want to take time for Him to talk to us. And most of us have multiple translations of the Bible at home, both in print and electronically. I have the Bible on my phone. It's with me almost every waking moment, God's Word. That doesn't mean it's being used, though. But it's close at hand. God has made it very easy for us to view His Word, for Him to talk to us. We have, like I said, I don't know how many translations of the Bible on the computer or at home in print. Christ said in Matthew 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So those words, Scripture, is very important. That's what we're to live by, those words. In Psalms 119, the writer says, "The entirety of your word is truth." All of these verses point us to the truth of God, God's Word, that is freely available to each of us. All of us can obtain a Bible very easy. You can go to a second-hand store. There's gobs of Bibles there selling very, very low price. But we have to be active in finding that time to get ourselves in the Scriptures. The key to me, one key anyway, of finding time is to think in terms of 10 minutes and 15 minutes here and there in getting ourselves into God's Word. Sometimes we think we've got to spend a whole hour or two, and we've got to get all of this, you know, everything done. We've got to find that perfect block of time when all the chores are done, the house is quiet, you know. Nothing's good on TV. And the Spirit moves me, and that's when I'll open up the Bible. Well, you know, that is not going to happen all that frequently at times. So we've got to have another way, another approach. And to me, and in the life that we have today, I think we can all find a few 10-minute, a few 15-minute periods of time throughout the day that we can let God talk to us. You know, most of our conversations with people don't last an hour or two at a time. Some do, but not most. There are a few minutes here and there. Bottom line, it's more important to read 10 minutes of Scripture than to read nothing. It's better to let God talk to us 10 minutes or 15 minutes here and there than not at all. You know, again, we're looking for that perfect time to get into the Word. And before long, the day's gone. It's time to go to bed. Maybe we could view it in terms of if we have this Word of God, the Bible, with us more frequently, maybe one in the car, maybe one at work. I know that we've got to be careful about having a Bible at work, one in your smartphone, that we can, when we get a few minutes to ourselves, we can read God, we can let God talk to us for 10 or 15 minutes. I'm talking to those who need, you know, a little change in their lives. If your communication habits are great before God, everything's good, don't rock the boat. Don't change anything. Keep trucking. But to those of us who may need a little change, something different, a little encouragement to get back on track and communicating frequently with God, then maybe we could consider something here that I've mentioned, like having a Bible with us, maybe most of the time throughout the day, and we find this 10-minute time to spend on it, spend time with God. I think we know that this world, again, does its best in distracting us. It doesn't want us to talk to God, doesn't want God to talk to us. But if we have God's Spirit within us, then we have a duty. We have a Christian duty to make prayer and study a part of our daily life. We simply have to just make it a priority and make it routine. Make it so it becomes routine and you expect it maybe at a certain time of every day, but you expect it and you cannot go any further until it gets done. It's like eating a meal. We expect to eat a few meals during the day. We don't skip too many meals, do we? I mean, that's just not what we're going to do. So if we could use that analogy and just say, I'm not going to skip communicating with God. It's just not going to happen. And if we do it for a length of time, it can become embedded within us and we can put it to use. I'm not sure I've heard if you do something a certain number of days, I don't know if it's 21 days straight, it's there. It's almost, you know, embedded. Of course, it can be broken, but not sure how long it would take for it to become a habit. But to drift and disconnect ourselves from God jeopardizes our spiritual life. You know, this world is becoming more and more irreligious, hostile toward Christians. And we can't afford to be distant from God. Reading God's Word gives us guidance on how to live out life, how to communicate with our families and spiritual and physical. Our goal is to strengthen and not weaken our communication with God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God, Scripture, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, there's power in the Scriptures. And I have found that that the times that I've really immersed myself in deep reading of God's Word, that there's just this new experience that comes over you. You feel this extra closeness to God. And that makes sense. God wants to talk to us. And I think He draws us in closer to Him as we let Him talk to us. The Bible is our sword and tool to live righteously. We define righteous acts only in God's Word. The mind wants to define what's right apart from God's Word. We've got a lot of Christians running around out there that say, this is what's right, this is what Christians should do. It's conflicts with God's Word. The Bible, along with prayer, can provide solutions for our lives. It can provide us what we need the most. We all have our different needs. We all have different issues of life. Some of us need, I've got a list here of things. And this is what close communication with God can help resolve and bring to us. If we need peace in our lives, in times of anxiety, then it can happen by communicating with God. It will give us courage in times of fear. It will give us relief in times of sickness. It will give us guidance in times of indecision. It will give us energy in times of apathy, comfort in times of sorrow, and strength in times of temptation. We're all tempted sometimes to go and drift from God. Simple two-way communication with God gives us all of these things that I just mentioned. A peace of life. And it's free of charge. There's no charge. It's sort of free. You know, as I said, we do have to become a slave, a bond servant of Jesus Christ to receive this peace, to receive His Spirit. You know, we do have to sacrifice our lives and put to death that old man. But all of these blessings and many more are available if we have true fellowship and communication with God. God has called us for a lasting fellowship of sharing our lives with Him. Last scripture is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. It says, that which we have seen, and John is speaking here, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, with those in the church. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, our goal is to have fellowship with Christ and the Father. To have fellowship is to share and communicate our experiences. So, let's commit ourselves. I encourage all of us. I'm talking to myself. In fact, why do speakers get up here and talk? Because they see something in their lives that they need to work on, and they want to share it with everyone else. So I'm not anybody special. I'm just like you. We're all in this together. So let's encourage each other and let's commit ourselves to have quality time with God. And if need be, then let's renew, let's create a plan that we can connect with God each and every day. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and if you really got the ball rolling at 15 minutes, you may want to slide on into 30 more minutes. Who knows? You know, it's our duty as chosen children to interact and to praise God, to do so, to communicate more, to connect to God, to have quality time with God, will bring us happiness and bring us closer to the source of all good things in life.